We're glad you've joined us for Walk with the King Weekend Edition, Saturday morning extended broadcasts from Dr. Robert A. Cook. To help us reach more radio friends with daily encouragement from the gospel, please visit walkwiththeking.org/donate. Thank you for listening, and thank you for your support.
All right, thank you very much. And hello again, radio friends. How in the world are you? You doing okay? Well, I trust everything's all right at your house, and I want you to know that I'm just ever so glad to be back with you once again for another of these weekly broadcasts where we share from the Word of God. I want to go on with you, if I may, in the book of Jonah. We've come now to Jonah chapter 2, verse 1, and we find these interesting words. Then Jonah prayed. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. That's interesting to me. That word then just caught my attention. And I looked back. We find God talking to Jonah. Verse 2, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah didn't pray then. We find Jonah running away. Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, but he didn't pray then. The Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so the ship was like to be broken. And the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God. They were praying, but Jonah didn't pray then. What was he doing? Well, it said Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. He wasn't praying, he was sleeping. So the captain came and said, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Rise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. But he didn't pray then. And so, after they cast lots to find out for whose cause this evil was come upon them, and the lot fell upon Jonah, and they said, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us, and so on. And he said, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. He didn't pray then. And so they tried very, very much. It says the men rowed hard to bring the ship to land, but they could not. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord. Now they weren't praying to their idols. They were praying to Jehovah God. The sailors were. They were praying, and they said, we beseech thee, O Lord. We beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. The sailors were praying. But Jonah didn't pray. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. And the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed. Interesting, isn't it? What it takes for God to turn us to himself. The old Methodists used to talk about prevenient grace. That's God's grace even when you're not ready to receive it. The grace of God that is poured out upon an unrepentant heart to turn it to seek the Lord. Paul the Apostle says, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. What God does, and how hard he has to work with some of us to get us to pray. Isn't it true? In this connection, I thought of Psalm 107. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And he gathered them out of the lands, east, west, north, south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses, and led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. One of the things that make us pray is this sense of being disoriented in life. Have you ever waked up and said to yourself of a morning, what day is this? Where am I? And what do I have to do today? That sense of being disoriented. Have you had that experience? I guess we all do. Problem is that for some folk that lasts all the time. And they don't quite know what they're driving at in life. They don't know where they're going. They really don't know who they are or what they should be trying to accomplish. A sense of bewilderment in life, not really knowing what the emphasis and the focus of life is. They wandered in a solitary way, hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. This is true of so many around us. Oh, my friend, look heavenward today if you're in that condition. And like Jonah prayed, then Jonah prayed, let it be with you. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses, and he led them forth by the right way. There's only one place where you're in the center of the will of God. There's only one will of God for you, one perfect will of God for you, and he'll give it to you. If you want God's will, you'll get it. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall, not maybe, shall direct thy paths. That tells me that if I want God's will and ask for it, he'll see to it that I get it. He led them forth by the right way. Somebody's bewildered today. Somebody listening to my voice right now is uncertain and drifting and bewildered and upset. There's a great heart hunger in your soul that's never really been satisfied. There's a longing to be something and to amount to something and to get somewhere in life, but you don't seem to be making it. Turn to God today, dear friend. Let your cry come before him. Acknowledge how you feel. Tell him exactly how you feel and plead the merits of the precious blood that was shed on Calvary for you when the Lord Jesus died for you. And let the Savior, this risen, wonderful Lord Jesus, who is alive today, by his Holy Spirit, let him move into your life and run it and lead you forth by the right way. There's only one way out of the maze of life, and the Lord knows the way. There's a chorus that Al Smith used to teach us years ago, that my Lord knows the way through the wilderness, all I have to do is follow. Strength for today is mine all the way. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness, all I have to do is follow. He led them from the wilderness, led them forth by the right way. Yes, that's one reason for praying. I go on in the 107th Psalm. It says, he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and broke their bands in sunder. Oh yes, God does this. He has to sometimes. When I say, no, God, I don't want your will. When I say, I want my own way, God says, all right, you can have your own way, but it's going to cost you. There's another psalm, something like this one. It says, he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their hearts. He gave them their request, but sent leanness into their hearts. There's a price to be paid for rebellion, isn't there? Because they rebelled against the words of God. What happened? While they're sitting in darkness, in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and iron. That's what happens when I rebel against the word of God and when I turn away from his will, the counsel, it says, of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Then they cry. Like Jonah, who has been brought now to this extremity. He's inside of a great fish. Then, it said, Jonah prayed. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their bands in sunder. Now, he says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, for he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. What is this now? He says, foolish people. You know, there is a basic senselessness to sin. You look at somebody else who has fallen into some kind of sin and transgression and the tragedy that associates it with it, and you say, oh, that's so unnecessary, so senseless. Here's a man whose home has now been destroyed because of his wandering ways. He's had an affair with someone, and his home is now broken up. His children are heartbroken and resentful. His wife is completely devastated and filled with that combination of heartbreak and rage that a person knows when he or she has been betrayed by the other. And as you look at it from outside, you say, oh, that's so foolish. It's so senseless. Why did he do that? He had everything going for him. He had everything to live for. What did he do it for? Well, I don't know why, nor do you. But the Bible says, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them. The first thing to do if you're in this position, my friend, if because of your own foolishness you've come a cropper and you're lying face down in the mud, so to speak, and you're in bad, bad trouble, what do you do then? Call on God. Then, it says, they cry unto the Lord. What do you do after that? Get into his word. He sent his word and healed them. The only thing that will keep you from having this thing happen again is to get into the word of God and let it get into you. You see, the word of God is the only force that will keep you from following your own inclinations in line with your sinful nature. Thy word have I hid in my heart, says the psalmist, that I might not sin against thee. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let the word dwell in you richly. There is the keeping force. There is the guiding power. There is the protective armor. Taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. There you have it. He sent his word and healed them. If I'm talking to somebody who's gotten into deep, deep heartache and trouble, and you're in despair, and you think nothing will help, do two things. Number one, cry out to God. He'll answer you. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. If you'll call on God, he'll hear you, my friend. Second, start to get into the word of God so that it will give you the strength to resist temptation and to keep from falling once again. It says, let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep, for he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind and lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths, their soul is melted because of trouble, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so the waves are still. Then they're glad because they're quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Are you at what we call wit's end corner? They are at their wit's end, it says. Are you at wit's end corner? Are you at the place where you don't know what to do next? That happens to all of us, doesn't it? Yes, it does. I don't know what to do next. Well, the first thing to do is to call on God. And the next thing to do is just trust him and obey whatever he suggests to your heart. Trust God for whatever he tells you to do next. Wits end corner. Doesn't have to last very long for you if you'll pray. I think an illustration of this that comes to my mind is found in John chapter 2. The mother of Jesus said, they have no wine. He said, woman, mine hour is not yet come. And his mother said to the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Jesus said, fill the water pots with water. Now here is a situation that needs some help. They didn't know what to do. And now the first thing to do is to obey what Jesus said. Fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. Now he said, draw out and bear to the master of ceremonies, and they brought it to him. And when the master of ceremonies tasted the water that was made wine, he said, thou hast kept the good wine until now. Jesus always gives you the best, doesn't he? when you obey him. Are you at wit's end today? Like this sailor that's described here, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. He maketh the storm a calm, and they're glad because they're quiet, and he bringeth them to their desired haven. There are several things the Lord does when you pray, when you're at wit's end. One, he bringeth them out of their distresses. Distress is an inner situation. Distress is an inner experience. It doesn't depend on the weather, and it doesn't depend on the circumstances. It's inside of you. And answer to prayer always starts inside. Have you noticed that? Answer to your prayers always starts inside of you. God doesn't change the circumstances first. He changes you in the circumstances. He bringeth them out of their distresses. Second, he changes the circumstances. He makes the storm a calm so the waves are still. Third, he puts you in the right direction, the direction of his will. He bringeth them to their desired haven. This is the way God answers prayer. First of all, he operates inside of your life. He brings you out of your distress. Second, he works on the circumstances. And third, he puts your life in the right direction so that you attain his goals for you. He bringeth them to their desired haven. Isn't that great? All of this coming out of praying, praying, praying. Oh, how grateful we are for answer to prayer. Let me remind you also of something over in James, which is familiar to you, but I just want to review it in your heart. Prayer should take every part, should affect every part of one's life. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Pray when you're in trouble. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Pray when you're glad and happy. That is a strange concept to many people who don't ever pray unless they're in a jam. But the Bible concept is share everything with God, including your happy times. The next time you feel happy, look up and thank God for it and do a little praying. You'd be surprised what it'll do. It'll be the icing on the cake, so to speak. Happiness is much more enjoyable when you share it with somebody, especially with God. So pray when you're in trouble, pray when you're happy. Verse 14, James chapter 5, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Pray when you're sick. Pray when you're guilty. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Pray when you're guilty and out of the will of God. Pray earnestly like Elias. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Effectual fervent means working inside and working out. And Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. Pray like a human being. Don't try to convince God you're anything else but a poor, needy, sinful human. He prayed earnestly. Pray earnestly. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain. Pray specifically. And he prayed again. Pray repeatedly and persistently. And then James adds, if anybody is erring from the truth and you convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner shall save a soul from death. Pray for the unsaved. Prayer, dear friend, should cover every part, every department, every area of your life. Well, in Jonah's case, it didn't. It took him a long time to get to praying, didn't it? God spoke to him. He didn't pray then. Went to Tarshish, went down to Joppa, I should say, to get a boat, going to Tarshish, didn't pray then. Paid the fare, didn't pray then. Went down in the ship, didn't pray then. Fell asleep, didn't pray then. The storm came and other people were praying, but he didn't pray. And when they finally settled on him as being the culprit, he didn't pray. All he knew was to give up. He says, toss me overboard, this the end. When you're out of the will of God, there do not seem to be any expedients, any alternatives to complete failure. Have you noticed that? When you get out of the will of God, there just do not seem to be any alternatives to giving up. And you get so down and so discouraged, and you think, this is the end, I've blown it, I'm out of the will of God, I may as well give up. Well, now, don't give up. It's always too soon to quit. God hasn't given up on you. He didn't bring you this far, I sometimes say to my friends. He didn't bring you this far to drop you now. And so it's always too soon to give up. But humanly, when you get out of God's will, as Jonah was, and you're engaged in doing your own bidding, and then you get in a jam because of it, the only thing you can think of is, well, toss me overboard, fellas, that's the end. No, it wasn't the end, it was the beginning. And I'm talking to somebody right now who's just about giving up, and you say, well, I've blown it. That's it. That's the end. It's all over. There's no more chance for me. No alternative to failure. May as well give up. May as well just lay down and die. No, you don't have to do that. God has plans for you, friend. He isn't done with you yet. Turn to your Lord. Learn to pray now. Cry out to God for help, and you'll find that He has some wonderful possibilities for your life, something you never even dreamed about. God is able to do, Paul says, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Oh, don't give up. Don't give up today. Don't give up. Don't make the mistake of quitting on life or on God, because He has plans for you, dear friend. Well, overboard with Jonah, and the fish was there to swallow him up. And Jonah, it says, was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed. It took him a while even to start praying after he got down there. Can you imagine that? Because his prayer is in the past tense. I cried, past tense, by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and He heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and Thou heardest to my voice. For Thou hadst cast me into the deep, past tense, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about, all Thy billows and Thy waves passed over me. Then I said, past tense, I am cast out of Thy sight, yet will I look again toward Thy holy temple. This is the turning point. He says it's all over, and yet it can't be. It isn't all over. I'm going to look toward God even now. I'm still alive. I'm still alive somehow or other. It's dark down here, and my head is full of seaweed, and I know that I'm in the fish, but I'm still alive, and I'm going to look toward God. I said, I will look toward Thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. Can't you see that? Seaweed and the rest of the food that was ingested by this great fish, whatever it was. Oh, I tell you, and the gastric juices of the fish working on Jonah's skin, I bet he was a sorry-looking sight when the fish vomited him out on the dry land. But he said, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast Thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. It took him a while, but finally he got around to praying. And my prayer came in unto Thee, into Thine holy temple. I will sacrifice the sacrifice unto Thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. There's the turning point. Salvation is of the Lord. Jonah came to the place where he said, God, if you'll give me another chance, I'll keep my promise. I'll keep my promise to be a faithful prophet of God. And it says, the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. The turning point in your life, my friend, is the point at which you say, okay, God, I'll do what you told me to do. That's the turning point. And when you reach that point, you can count on God to change the direction, to change the circumstances, and to see you through if you're willing now to do His will. A preacher friend of mine told me that when he was in seminary many years ago, there was a bunch of the young fellows sitting around one night, and they were discouraged, and one and then another of them said, oh, I'm going to quit. A number of them were broke. They, you know, students are perennially short of funds. And in those days, which were back in the time of the Great Depression, they were especially having a rough time getting through school. And so one or another of them said, oh, I'm going to quit. When the conversation ceased for a moment, one of their number who hadn't said anything up to that point said, fellas, don't quit. Don't say no to God. Don't quit on God. Oh, he said, don't quit. Go on and do the will of God. My friend, the one thing that will turn your life around is for you to say as Jonah did, I will sacrifice unto Thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Then the Lord spoke unto the fish, and Jonah came out on the dry land again. I can promise you that when you say yes to God on a matter where you've been in conflict with Him, things will change. You will change. Circumstances will change. And the will of God will be gloriously done in your life. Dear Lord, today help us to say yes to Thee concerning matters of Thy will, so that Thou canst do the miracle. In Jesus' name, amen. That's all for now. Till I meet you once again by way of radio, walk with the King today and be a blessing.